The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 9, Text Number 45, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on January 4th, 2010, in Auckland, New Zealand.
So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter Number 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers, text number 45. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yat Maitunadi Grihamedi Sukham Hi Tucham Kanduyanena Karyo Iva Dukadukam Tripyanti na iha kripana bahuduka bhaja kandutivat manisijam vishaheta dhira Yan maitunadi griha medi sukham hitucham. Kandu yanena karayori vaduka dukam. Tripyanti neya kripana bahuduka bhaja. Kandutivan manasi jang vishaheta dhira. Yan maitunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. Kandu yanena karayori vadukka dukham. Tripyanti neha kripana bahuduka bhaja. Kandutivan manasi jang vishaheta dhira. Yet that which is meant for material sense gratification. Maituna Adi, represented by talking of sex, reading sexual literature, or enjoying sex at home, or outside as in a club. Grihamedi Sukham, all types of material happiness. Based on attachment to family, society, friendship, etc. He, indeed, tucham, insignificant, kandu yanena, with the itching, kariyo, of the two hands to relieve the itching, eva, like dukkha dukkham, different types of unhappiness into which one is put after such itching sense gratification. Tripyanti, become satisfied. No, never. Iha, in material sense gratification. Kripana, the foolish persons. Bahuduka bhaja, subjected to various types of material unhappiness. Kandutivat. If one can learn from such itching, Manisijam, which is simply a mental concoction. Actually, there is no happiness. Vishaheta, and tolerates such itching. Dhira, he can become a most perfect sober person. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Grihamedis, so-called grihasthas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is a source of distress. The kripanas, the fools, who are just the opposite of brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are adhira, however, who are sober, and who tolerate this itching, are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Materialists think that sexual indulgence is the greatest happiness in this material world, and therefore they make elaborate plans to satisfy their senses, especially the genitals. This is generally found everywhere, and specifically found in the Western world, where there are regular arrangements to satisfy sex in different ways. Actually, however, this has not made anyone happy. Even the hippies, who have given up all the materialistic comforts of their fathers and grandfathers, cannot give up the sensational happiness of sex life. Such persons are described here as kripanas, misers. The human form of life is a great asset, for in this life, one can fulfill the goal of existence. Unfortunately, however, because of a lack of education and culture, people are victimized by the false happiness of sex life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore advises one not to be misled by this civilization of sense gratification, and especially not by sex life. Rather, one should be sober, avoid sense gratification, and be Krishna conscious. And the lusty person who is compared to a foolish miser never gets happiness by sense gratification. The influence of material nature is very difficult to surpass, but as stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. If one voluntarily submits to the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be saved very easily. In reference to the low-grade happiness of sex life, Jamunacharya says in this connection, Yadavadi mama cheta Krishna padaravinde nava nava rasa damanun yattarantumasit Tadavati Bhattanari Sangame Smaryamane Bhavati Mukavikara Shushtu Nishtivanamcha. Since I have been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in Him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought, and my lips curl with distaste. Jamunacharya had formerly been a great king who had enjoyed sexual happiness in various ways, but since he later engaged himself in the service of the Lord, he enjoyed spiritual bliss and hated to think of sex life. If sexual thoughts came to him, he would spit with disgust. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Vijata Padakamala Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Trishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. This is a very favorite verse of Srila Prabhupada. Yan maitanadi grihamedi sukham hituccham. When Prabhupada would say hituccham, it was like he was spitting with disgust. Tituccham. Very nicely, Prabhupada would say. He was walking with on the beach. He used to, on Venice Beach in Los Angeles, he would often walk there with my godbrother, Swarupa Damodar Prabhu, who became Bhakti Swarupa Damodar Maharaj. He was a PhD scientist in biology. So Srila Prabhupada would engage him, and he would, Bhakti Swarupa Damodar Maharaj would play the role of the scientist, and Prabhupada would smash the arguments. It's very lively. They made that book, Life Comes from Life. So I remember Prabhupada was talking this very point that morning on the beach, and Swarupa Damodar, he raised the objection of the scientists. Prabhupada said, that is the position of the sects, that how nasty it is. And Swarupa Damodar said, but how to continue the species? And Prabhupada said, you finish it, this condemned world. So Prabhupada didn't back down one inch on this point. Disgusting nature of sex pleasure. Of course, that sex pleasure, as we know, can be utilized in producing saintly children. Balang balavachang kahang kama raga vivarjitam dharmavirudha bhushayishu kamosmi bharatarshava. Oh, best among that? I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion and desire. I am that sex life which is not contrary to religious principles, O Lord of the Bharatas Arjuna. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he said, even though he was staunch Naishtika Brahmachari, he said, I am prepared to have sex life 100 times if I can produce saintly children. So, This verse is not to discourage household life according to religious principles. But even that household life, utilizing sex according to religious principles, it is given up. Nowadays, they call it sex education. They teach the children how to have safe sex using condoms. But the real sex education means how to give up sex life. That's all. That is the real meaning of sex education, how to give it up, you see. If you can't be brahmachari, if you can't do without it, all right, then you become married peacefully, you raise some Krishna conscious children, and finish it. In every ashram, one is meant to give up sex life, you see. Every ashram, one is meant to give it up. So, someone may ask, some outsider may ask, why are you people so down on sex life? I mean, come on, it's a lot of fun. It's the greatest, my greatest pleasure is sex. Why are you people against sex pleasure? I mean, come on, it's so much fun. It's really enjoyable. It's a hard day at the office. I come home and I have sex and I feel really relieved. I mean, come on, why are you people so down on it anyway, you know? What are you, some fanatics, some prudes, bunch of prudes? Well, there's a science behind this. This is not simply some, you know, some old-fashioned Puritanism that, you know, we're down on sex because it's dirty or it's because of the devil or something like that. No. There's a scientific reason that the transcendentalists spit at the thought of sex. The reason is that the actual self has nothing to do with this body. This gross body is simply a covering. It is not the actual self. The real self is a spiritual being which is eternal, full of bliss, and full of knowledge. So, the living entity who mistakenly considers himself to be this material body, he will find sex pleasure to be a very, very enjoyable thing. But the transcendentalist who understands and can see graphically that the pleasures of this material world may appear to be very, very nice, but they simply lead one to ruin and degradation. They lead one actually down into the lower species of life. That's where they lead you. If one is following the pathway of Indriya Seva, one will go to the lower species. That's the reality. And the lower species in a very suffering condition. So the point is, the transcendentalist, even though he may have sometimes feel the urge for sense beatification, he tolerates that urge because he understands he's going to get something much better, a much greater pleasure by doing that, you see. This is like if I hand you a bag full with $10,000 in it, cash, you may feel very good. Oh, wow, $10,000 cash. Thank you, Prabhu. I could really use this. I say, well, I was just joking. I'll give it back. Oh, I wasn't really giving it to you. I was just testing you. Oh, doggone it. I thought he was giving me $10,000 there for a minute. You wouldn't like to give it back, you see. But if I give you a bigger container with $10 million in it, I say, look, you give me the $10,000, I'll give you $10 million. Will you have any trouble with that? And you give the $10,000 back, I'll now give you $10 million. Are you ready? Will you take it? You say, no, I want my $10,000. You see? So, this material sense gratification, specifically sex, it's a mere 10 grand, that's all it is, $10,000. But if you can actually revive your original dormant enlightened consciousness, Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada has taught us, if you can revive your Krishna consciousness, that is a pleasure worth 10 million, 10 billion, 10 trillion, 10 quadrillion. You can't even put a number on it. How valuable that pleasure is, you see. There's so much rus. There's so much juice. There's so much nectar. Even in one utterance of Krishna, that the whole universe can't even hold it. You know that shloka by Rupa Goswami? Tunde tundavali ritin fitanute tundavali lamdiye Karna karoda kadamani gatayate kunabhride braspriham. Chaita prangana sangini vijayatan sarvendriyanam kritim. Navjane janita kriyabhim kamita krishne divarnadvai. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I say this Krishna name, I'm not simply uttering it, it is dancing on my tongue, and there's so much nectar, this one little mouth is not enough. I want to have millions of mouths so I can get a little bit more of that nectar that's available in Krishna. And when those two syllables, Krishna, enter the holes of my ears, oh, there's so much nectar. I want millions, billions, trillions of ears to get a little bit more of that nectar. And when that Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is completely conquered and I'm stunned in a state of transcendental wonder. Show me a sexual experience that can compete with that. You can't. Sex cannot compete with that. Chanting Hare Krishna is millions and billions of times juicier than sex. That's a thing. Therefore, a devotee can easily give it up. You see, can easily give it up. Sex life? Who wants it? Dirt. Dirty, nasty. Simply a nasty bodily function like passing stool or urine. Actually, it's all it is. You excrete stool out of your body, you excrete urine out of your body, and you excrete semen out of your body. That's just another gross bodily function. So why is it so pleasurable? Prabhupada explains, because nobody would want to have children otherwise. It's been made an arrangement by nature's way, so the species will continue. You get to feel like you're a demigod for about 5 seconds. You see? And then it's over, finished. But they're willing to take that 5 seconds of pleasure, a demigod for 5 seconds, and then a slave for a whole lifetime, you see? There's so much pleasure there, they're willing to take that, all the pain, the stresses. Prabhupada said, licit or illicit, sex is simply trouble. It's troublesome. The result of sex, licit or illicit, is troublesome. But there's so much pleasure in begetting that they're willing to take all that trouble for years and years and years, a whole lifetime of trouble, just for those few seconds of pleasure, you see. So those who are actually learned, those who are intelligent, those who are philosophically inclined, who can analyze things carefully, they say, well, is it really worth it? Therefore, they remain brahmachari, you see. They remain brahmachari. Is it really worth it? But if one has that desire is just more than you can possibly control, all right, then use it in Krishna's service. But then again, you must be brahmachari. Because the grihastha, he is also brahmachari. Although if he is not grihastha brahmachari, he is griyamedi. Grihastha brahmachari means he uses sex only for procreation. Now some people in ISKCON are now trying to change the idea that if you're married, you can have sex as much as you want because you're married, but that's not what Prabhupada taught us. That's illicit sex, confirmed in Prabhupada's books, right there in the Bhagavad Gita purport. If you're a married person, you're allowed to have sex once in a month on the fifth day after the menstrual cycle. If you want to have children and you've chanted 50 rounds of japa, both husband and wife have chanted 50 rounds of japa. And it also, Prabhupada mentioned, and you have the blessings of your spiritual master to beget a child. That's also mentioned by Prabhupada. You see, in the Vedic system, the Garbhadhan Sanskara, you see, when they the it's not that oh we're married, let's jump into bed. No. We're married now, we want to have a child, all right. So before the act of begetting, now there'll be a whole ceremony. The Brahmins are called, their charity are given. It's a whole elaborate thing just for having sex, you see. It's a whole elaborate thing, a big ceremony, a public ceremony. Just like a wedding, and there's a ceremony now for when we're going to try to get a child. There's a whole big ceremony, a public ceremony for begetting child, you see. To purify the couple for begetting the child. So this is Vedic culture. Sex life is there, but it's regulated. It's not just when I get the urge to have sex, I jump into bed. No. That urge is tolerated, even by the householder, and it is used in a regulated way. According to the Vedic injunctions, it is utilized in a regulated way. In this way, the householder, he is just as much as a brahmachari as a brahmachari, just as much of a brahmachari, you see. Even though he's using sex, he is not used by sex. Because the fact is, as soon as we give in to the urges of the genitals, we become used by sex. You see, we become victimized by it. That's a fact. As soon as you serve your senses, as soon as you take up the platform of Indriya Seva, then what is your position? Dushparena nalena cha, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. You become a slave of your senses because they burn like fire and they're never satisfied. They say, more, 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 more. Give me more sense gratification. So what he says, what is this nonsense? I've been serving my senses for millions and billions of lifetimes, and where did they get me? Another damn rotting material body. I'm sick of this. I'm out of here. I've had enough of this. You see? He says, all right, from now on, my dear senses, I'm the boss, and you're the servants. I call the shots from here on out, not you. Mr. Tongue, Mr. Belly, Mr. Genitals, now I'm the boss, and you do what I say, and that's it. You see? That's called Goswami. That's a liberated platform. When you finally take complete charge of your senses 24 hours a day, that from now on I'm in charge and my senses do what I tell them to do, otherwise they just got to tolerate it. If they want something, they're not going to get it unless I authorize it. You see? So in this way, if you want to advance to the higher platforms of Krishna consciousness, you got to be tough. You got to be tough for those damn senses. Otherwise, you're going to stay on the platform of a Nardana Vichri, trying to move through a Bhajana Kriya, trying to move through a Nardana Vichri for your whole life. And so you're going to be stuck your whole life battling it out with the senses, you see, struggling with the senses. That's why one should take a very strong position. Now I'm the boss. You do what I say, and that's it. And then you can move past Nardana Vritti. You can come to the Nishtha stage, where you become solidly fixed in Krishna consciousness. But there's hardly any eruptions anymore for your Krishna consciousness. And then you can go to the Ruchi stage, even less interruptions. The Sakti stage, less interruptions. And finally, Bhava and Prem, pure love of Godhead, where you are directly having personal interaction, personal loving exchanges with Krishna, at every minute, person to person, direct, constant exchanges with Krishna, the prema stage. You see? So if we want to actually achieve these exalted positions where you can directly associate with God at every minute, then you have to give up sex pleasure. Immediately or gradually, you see. Householder is allowed to do it gradually. And the other ashrams immediately. You have to immediately or gradually give up sex pleasure. If you want that highest position, immediately or gradually, you must give it up. Must give it up. So is it worth it? The materialists say, of course not, you people are crazy. You've been brainwashed by a cult leader, you see. You're crazy, you people are crazy, you see. But what sort of civilization have these people created? If they're so enlightened with how to be happy, then why have they created a world where everybody is miserable, you see? Why are they running on a society where people are starving, people, there's so much crime, there's terrorism? If their philosophy was so perfect, then why is the whole world going down the tubes right now? The whole civilization is going down the tubes if their philosophy was so perfect. That's the proof. Just look at the world around you. Pick up a newspaper and see what is the result of their hedonistic philosophy. Simply chaotic conditions. You see, that's the proof. The fact is, when the society followed the ways of the sages as before the Kali Yuga, there were Vedic kings ruling this planet for millions of years. People lived wonderful lives, full of happiness, full of joy. There was pure air, pure water. The crime was practically non-existent. Even a few centuries ago, in India, crime was unheard of. It was unheard of. There was one British lord who gave address to the British Parliament about the Indian culture. It's amazing, the description. How there was no crime. Even in the Kali Yuga, when it had degraded so much, it was still such a high-level society, you see. What to speak of in former times, the Vedic, pure Vedic ages, you see. When they were purely guided by the sages, the kings were governing according to the ways of the sages. We can't even conceive of how wonderful it was on this planet in those days. We can read about it in the scriptures. The scholars take it as mythology. They say, this couldn't be real. It's just absolutely unbelievable. It couldn't be like that. It's all mythology. But no, it is not mythology. The opulence of Dwarka exceeded that of the spiritual world, if you can imagine that, as described in Prabhupada's books. Dwarka was so amazingly wonderful place. It was even more wonderful than the spiritual sky. You can imagine. That was right here on this planet. So how far things have come down, and why? This uncontrolled sex life. That has brought the degradation of the human society. You see. Primarily, it pivots around this thing. Freud was right. In the material world, everything is revolving around this sex pleasure. So if you want to get free from the miseries of material existence, then you have to get free of this sex desire. That's a fact. You have to get free from it. You have to kick it out, realizing it's low class. As the Prabhupada translated this shloka, hitucham, 10th class, pleasure at best. It's 10th class. Why should I go after 10th class pleasure? I'm simply cheating myself of that of the unlimited pleasure, nava-nava rasa, of Krishna bhakti. It's all right, now I've realized that I want to get free of this sex desire which is tormenting my heart. Now how do I do it, one could ask. How do I actually make that transition? I've been sexually addicted for I don't know how long, how many years I've been sexually addicted, if not overtly, at least covertly within my brain. I've been sexually addicted for so many years. Now, how do I get out of this trap? You see? That's described by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 2, text number 59. Vishya vinivartante niraharashyadehina rashavarsham rishopyasya parang vishmanivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste. He becomes fixed in consciousness. So how do you get that higher taste? That's the question. And how do you really get that taste to where when Maya Devi dances in front of you with a beautiful naked young girl, you just say, you know, sit down and let me finish my rounds, like Hare Das Thakur. How do you get to that state of consciousness? You have to get the higher taste. How do you get the higher taste? Rupa Goswami, in his wonderful book, The Padyavali, has given very nice description. Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati Kriyatang Yadi Katopi Labhyate Tattalayang Mapi Mulyam Ekalam Janmakotir Sukritayana Labhyate. He says pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by executing pious activities in hundreds and thousands and even millions of lifetimes. It can be attained only by paying one price, tattadayam, the intense greed to attain it. If it is available somewhere, Rupa Goswami says, then one must purchase it without delay. So how do you get that higher taste? Well, he's told us, you got to be greedy. You got to be greedy for it. And we got to be really fired up. You see, I want that Krishna Bhakti. I want Krishna Bhakti. I don't want to be a slave of sex desire anymore. I don't want to be a slave of money, a slave of greed, a slave of anger, a slave of madness, a slave of illusion, a slave of envy. Where it has gotten me, nothing but misery. Therefore, I must become greedy. I want pure Krishna Bhakti. I want to be able to see Krishna face to face and serve Him in His eternal pastimes. I'm tired of this nonsense, suffering in the cycle of birth and death. And this way, one must become very, very, very greedy for Krishna consciousness. See. So you, and then he says, "Is it available somewhere? You must purchase it without delay." Where is it available? Where is that shop where they sell it? You see, Prabhupada created one institution where it is available. ISKCON. That Krishna Bhakti is available right here in this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. All right. How do you pay for it then? Shraddha, faith. Muster up as much faith as you can, grab as much faith as you possibly can, and come to the marketplace, the Namahat that Prabhupada has created here. ISKCON. Come to this Namahat. Bring that Shraddha, the biggest, grab as much Shraddha as you can in your hand, and come and lay it on the counter and say, "Lord Nityananda, give me prem. Give me prem. I've come with as much Shraddha as I can muster from my Shraddha account. I'm putting it all on the account. Please give it to me, Lord Nityananda. I beg you, give me prema. Please give me prema." You see. In this way, you see. Be very eager. Come and beg the Lord Nityananda. You see. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's prepared to take us there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is the wonderful saintly spiritual master who will take us to Namahat. He's described in his Namahat song. Very nice bhajan. Bodo sukher kabor gai. Surabi kunjete namehat. Kuleche surabi kunje namerhat kuleche kodanitai. You know that place in Mayapur, Surabhi Kunj? How many of you have been to Surabhi Kunj in Mayapur? It's actually right down the road from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. This is the place where Lord Nityananda began this Namahat. It's actually somebody's backyard. But they don't mind. In India, in America, if you go in somebody's backyard, they pull out a gun and they shoot you. But in India, you go in somebody's backyard, no problem. So I went there one day. I just rolled in that grass. Just rolled over and over and over in that grass of Surabhi Kunj, just begging for the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Just wanting to soak up as much mercy as I could, rolling in that holy dirt of Surabhi Kunj, you see. Because that's the place where this Namahat began by Nityananda. That place where you can go, and with the price of faith, you can bargain with Lord Nityananda and you can get prema, you see. You can bargain with Lord Nityananda and get that prema, you see. So Bhaktivinoda says, I will take you to that market, I will introduce you to Lord Nityananda, and I will get my commission. So that is the wonderful thing of this. If you can bring people to this marketplace, which is now manifested as ISKCON, the more we bring people to this movement, Lord Nityananda gives us a commission. So what form does that commission come in? Well, more Shraddha. So we can become more qualified to purchase prema. So anyway, I can ask now if there's any questions. Okay.
Well, it says there's meaningless conferences like Bhagavad Gita. So what is specifically of those miseries? Some people might say, well, you're saying that there's many miserable results, but they might not realize what that is.
I couldn't hear a word. What did he say? Miseries.
Comes from the sex life. So what are those miseries?
The miseries? Well, there's four basic miseries that come from sex life. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Those are the four basic miseries. And there's three others. The adiadmic, the adibhotic, adidavic miseries. And then there's also the seven whips. Hunger, thirst, lamentation. These are mentioned in the Krishna book. So you got the threefold miseries, the fourfold miseries, and the seven whips.
This misery is for the children, what they're taking birth. What about for the parents? Is there any miseries?
Hmm?
These are miseries are for children. For what for the parents?
Everyone suffers these miseries. The parents suffer. Because we're addicted to sex life, we take birth after birth after birth after birth in this material world. That is the mystery. As long as you remain addicted to sex pleasure, you must take birth again in this material world. If there's any desire for sex pleasure, one has to take birth again. One has to become completely asexual. You see, they talk, what's your orientation, you know, nowadays? Well, I'm homosexual, I'm heterosexual, I'm bisexual. Well, our orientation is asexual, you see. That's our orientation. Krishna consciousness means to have an asexual orientation. Give up sex pleasure, you see. So any attachment for sex pleasure, you have to take birth again. Because Krishna doesn't want to deny you what you're attached to. He will kindly facilitate you. Well, I have this desire for sex. Okay, take another birth. In the spiritual world, the men and women are so beautiful. You couldn't imagine how beautiful they are. And they even have husbands and wives there, but they're not interested in sex pleasure. They're not attracted. It's not that the man is carried away by his beautiful wife, or the wife's carried away by a good-looking husband. No, they're all just completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Even though they're so beautiful, you couldn't believe how beautiful those women are there. Unbelievably beautiful. But there's no attraction. Because everybody is caught up in Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You see? So the misery of sex life is you have to keep taking birth again. You have to. Every single misery of this material existence is the result of sex desire. That's a fact. Every single misery you have to go through. I don't care what it is. Being caught in the traffic jam on the freeway, having to pay taxes. You know, being sick, every single misery that you can list in the material world, the unlimited ocean of miseries here, they're all simply a result of sex desire. So therefore the intelligent person says, no thank you. No, thank you, Maya Devi. You can take your little charms and you can go somewhere else. I belong to Krishna and only Krishna from now on, and that's it, finished. You got a question? Somebody, oh, you had one, okay. Maybe you better let my wife, because I can't hear a word of it, practically. So give me in bits and pieces.
I'll give you the gist.
Okay. Sex is only for within marriage. Prabhupada said that, in other words, sometimes Prabhupada would say that sex is only for within marriage, which is true. Now, sometimes if he's talking to an outsider, we prohibit sex to only within marriage, he may say to an outsider like that. Because to explain to an outsider the whole nine yards, it's a little heavy. But just to give the first principle is sex life is only for within marriage. That's for an outsider to get some basic understanding, introductory understanding. But that's not the end of the story. The fact is sex is only for within marriage. Prabhupada never... There's nowhere you'll ever see anywhere where Prabhupada says that within marriage one can have sex without any restriction. Never anywhere does Prabhupada ever say that. Never. Have you ever seen in the books or heard a lecture? The sex life means a license for unlimited marriage life means you can have sex as much as you want? No, he never said that. Never ever did he say that. He sometimes says no illicit sex means sex only within marriage. But that's an introductory understanding for the outsiders. That's not what he trained his disciple. Actually, when I was giving an initiation one time, initiating one female disciple, and when I said, what are the principles? She said, no sex outside of marriage. And I said, no. I immediately stopped the ceremony. Initiate said, no, that's not correct. Our principle is no illicit sex. It's not no sex outside of marriage, it's no illicit sex. There's a difference. Prabhupada said once in a month, on the fifth day after the menstrual cycle, the most fertile day of the month, then if the husband and wife have both chanted 50 rounds, then they can try to have a child. And if there's no desire for a child, then they restrict celibate. And that's the principle. The evidence is there. It's all there in Prabhupada's books. It's very clearly stated in many, many, many places in Prabhupada's teachings. There's no doubt about it. It's a very solid principle. I don't know why devotees are trying to change this principle. It's the cat, when the cat's away, the mice will play syndrome. The Prabhupada now has departed, so let's make it a little more relaxed and easygoing in Krishna consciousness now. Let's not be so strict anymore. Let's kind of take it easy. But Casual means casualty. If one tries to relax the standard that Prabhupada gave and invent a new standard, you're spoiling the movement. That's all. You're spoiling the movement. You're killing the movement. Actually, you're just completely killing this movement. If you introduce this principle that unrestricted sex within marriage is okay, you just killed the movement. Because you've undermined the whole principle of tapasya that movement is based on. So please don't kill the movement. That's all I can ask the devotees. Please don't kill the movement. Let's keep this movement alive by keeping this principle of Krishna consciousness, surpassing all other types of happiness. Krishna consciousness is totally satisfying just in itself. Is that all right? Okay.
Yes, Prabhu. In the Bible, it does say that sex is bad. You know,
we don't say it's bad either.
No, it says illicit sex. It says sex life is a sin against your own body, but it doesn't say anything about it's bad because you get more bodies.
Why? Yeah, well, it's not very. The Bible is not very scientific. Yeah. How what?
Sex weakens a person.
Sex weakens the person.
Yes, biologically speaking, when the Prabhupada explains it takes 40 drops of blood to make one drop of semana. So actually you're doing nothing more than bleeding yourself. When you pass semana unnecessarily, the man is simply bleeding himself. And it's like saying, yeah, every night I get home from work and I leave a little tension, I take a razor blade and I slash my wrist. Ah, oh, it feels so good. That blood coming out, you see. That's what it's like. It's the pleasure of the camel. He's chewing the thorns and he's thinking, this is really good. It's so scrumptious, so delicious. He's eating his own blood, the foolish rascal, you see. So these people who have sex pleasure, they didn't. You know, this thing, the more I can pass semen, oh, it feels so good, you see. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You know? I know, because I have, you know, I got 12,000 people in my e-course. You wouldn't believe the emails I get from people. They reveal things they wouldn't tell anybody else about their sex problems, you know? You know, people masturbating. And so many people out there masturbating, they just can't conquer it. And, try to help them, you know? They get caught up in their habit. You know, they come home every day and they masturbate. You know, it's just crazy. You know that they don't realize the thing is, it's an addiction. Sex is an addiction. If you're addicted to masturbating or to having sex, you just got to say, "Okay, I got an addiction. I have an addiction problem here. I just got to hold myself back long enough to where that taste gradually fades away, and I'm satisfied with the mantra." You see, you just have to deny the senses there, especially the genital. You just got to deny the genital. It's masturbation pleasure, and say, "Hey, you're not going to get it now. I'm going to follow strictly Prabhupada's instructions, and I'm going to chant Hare Krishna in this way. Gradually, it'll go away. And as it goes away, that beautiful dawning of Krishna bhakti will arise in your heart." And you'll feel so happy, so enlivened to be connected with Krishna in all times, all places and circumstances. Wherever you go, you will feel how you're connected with Krishna. So it's really worth it, you know, giving up that pleasure. It's really worth it. Even though it's tough in the beginning. For a sex addict, it's difficult in the beginning. To practice brahmacharya life is very difficult. We have many people who are sex addicts in the material world that join our movement. And I remember I met one couple, happy household couple. It was quite an interesting story. In Miami Temple, I was a brahmachari in those days. And I don't know why, but they just decided to tell me. They were so excited. They had the husband, the wife was there too. They were standing there. The husband told me, He said, "You know, last night yesterday we chanted 50 rounds each. We were going to, for having a child. After we finished chanting the rounds, we said we were so high in the Hare Krishna mantra. We said, let's wait till next month for having sex. We don't want to come down from this platform." They were so ecstatic chanting those 50 rounds of japa. Who wants to come down to the bodily platform and have sex? They chanted 50 rounds so they could have sex, and they got so high in the mantra, forget it, next month. You see, that's called higher taste, you see. So in this way, we have to cultivate that higher taste. And then the lower taste, it'll just go away, you see. Go away, Maya, go away, get out of here. I just want Krishna consciousness, and that's it from now on. That's all I want. So anyway, we're getting a little over time here. We thank you all very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. Kindly dive deeper and deeper into this nectarian ocean of Krishna bhakti rasa, and all desires of sexual life, greedy desires, angry desires, mad desires, illusion desires, envious desires, they all melt away, and you'll become the most happy, blissful person in all the three worlds. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.